Hello and welcome to the Tech Gaming Podcast, World 7-5. I'm your host this week, Sean Nola Kirkland. With me is a guy who fucks up the outline, Robert Desert Eagle Allen.
I like to fuck shit up generally.
And a man who plays games that aren't actually games.
What?
He just tells you they are and sees if you believe they actually exist. Tide Gear, Adam Malecki.
Yeah, so I've been playing this game called Kung Fu Panda 2. And
that's a real game.
What? No.
It's a real game that came out this week, yeah.
No. That's wrong.
Yeah.
I do think you should do that one week, Adam, where you just, when you're doing your what you've been playing, mm-hmm. You should just make up a game and see if we actually buy
and
into it.
See if anyone calls me on it.
Yeah,
I've been Googling
are.
For hours. That game sounds awesome, but I can't find it.
I looked everywhere.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but so this week, first off, Samurai Age is at an appointment that's running long, so she may or may not show up. So maybe she's here, maybe she's not. I'll go ahead and introduce her. Samurai Age Sage Morris Green. Ah. Hi, Sean. Hi, Sage. I'm not here yet, so I'm just going to be quiet for a while. Okay, Sage. And,
Rock the Hawk and all that good stuff.
And yeah, it's really upsetting if she does miss this, because this is going to be a big show. We're gonna talk about games, and then we're going to talk about E3. So games and E3. What more could you want?
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to start
and
off...
games at E3.
Yeah.
I heard there'll be some games there.
I think so. Maybe, unless the network is down. Ah, see, I made one of those jokes, too. I'm hip. I'm with it. I can make jokes about the PlayStation Network. That's still a thing, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Because the store's still down. It's pissing me off. We'll get to that.
Wow, she's... Oh, hold on. Sage is editing the thingy as we speak.
This is like some Ouija board stuff going
on. I know,
right? Here.
She wants me to say that she's been playing Witcher 2 and Titulus.
Titulus, maybe?
I like Titulus.
I know. She's been playing The Witcher 2 and Titulus. I don't know what that is. So, Sage, that's what you've been playing. But we're also going to talk about what Tide Gear's been playing, since I was already making fun of him for it.
We're going to start with me?
Yes. Oh, she changed it to say Titulus. Oh, nope. She. Yep, there it is. sorry, listeners. You can't see the outline being edited.
Yeah, we got some hilarious visual gags going on here, and you're just going to have to take our word for it. Funny stuff. All right, so I was just telling Deagle not long ago that most of what I've been playing a ton of stuff, but most of it is stuff that I've already talked about on the show and possibly even to death. So, but other than that, I have been playing a game by a guy who isn't a company, as Sean would put it, and it's called, it's on Steam, and it's called Space Chem.
Like chemical?
Yeah, like space and chemical. And it involves space. It involves chemicals.
I didn't see that one coming.
But there's more to it than that. So it's a very strange game. It's a puzzle game almost in the vein of a Incredible Machine. But very different. It's almost more like you're programming these little sequences. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you have these little molecules, and you need to break them apart and rearrange them and reassemble them depending on the mission. And so you have these little layouts where you set down these tracks that these... I don't know why they're called this, but they're called Waldos. And they're like these little things that grab the little molecules and manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you don't have to look for them. Yeah.
The red
and
white sweater is a giveaway.
So it's got a little bit of kind of pseudo chemistry going on. It's got some basic kind of programming skills going on where you're assembling these tracks, almost like flowchart type things that sort of break apart and rebond these chemicals in the way that you need them to.
When you say flowcharts,
mm-hmm.
you kind of lose me, because I don't think flowcharts are fun.
Tell that to Shipwreck.
Well, if flowcharts, flowcharts in the sense that they're sort of structured like that, but it's what happens is after you set these things up, it runs in real time. And so you can see like the kind of the machinations of what you set up. And when you successfully get a setup that's repeatedly breaking apart and rebonding these molecules and in complex ways, it is super satisfying.
Really?
And
okay.
I originally played a demo of this game right when it first came out, before it was on Steam. And it kind of started to draw me in because it makes you feel really smart. It's cool. It's stylish looking. It's got a storyline that's actually interesting to it. Mm-hmm. But I felt like, wow, this is probably going to get really hard, really fast, and just become overwhelming. And so I was like, when it got on Steam, I was like, okay, I started hearing more good things. I started hearing good things about it on like Rock, Paper, Shotgun sites like that. And, and I realized, okay, I think I'm going to have to buy this, but just to be safe, I'm going to wait till it goes on sale. So of course, being a Steam game, it went on sale not long after, and I picked it up for $7.50, and I really enjoy it, and it's actually paced really well. It teaches, it doesn't throw too much at you. And I should say, like, this, if you're not a fan of puzzle games, if you don't find, like, the logic involved with programming kind of interesting, then you're probably not going to like this game. But
you're talking
to
me. Yeah.
Okay.
I recalled I had a game for the Commodore 64, and they had robots, and you would kind of drop chips, microchips in, and these microchips had different functions, like move forward, and then you can program, like, move forward unless there's an enemy, and if there's an enemy on your right, turn and use this. And I wanted to like it, but it was just too mathematical.
Let me ask you that game with the robots. I've heard of this before. I don't remember the name, but when you were programming the robots, did they all move based on the same
No, your programming would have to defeat the other robots.
Oh, okay.
So you had to, it was almost like what was that show where they built robots and they'd fight in an arena?
BattleBots.
Yeah, BattleBots. It was like that, but all, all kind of turn-based and all strategic.
So,
like
you
would build your robot, you'd punch a button, and then, it'd kind of go to work.
I feel like I played a game like that, and it was, you saw the setup, and you had, like you said, you had all the moves that you could choose from, and you basically only got the one turn, right? Because you would program all your little dudes and then flip the switch, and they would do it, and either it would best the other robots or it wouldn't.
Yep.
And then you start over.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is almost sort of a sub genre at this point of these games where you kind of program, set up programs, and then one or more things enact these actions. It was funny because part of what got me wanting to give Space Chem another try is I found this free game that I think came out recently called Pragmatica, which is basically what you're talking about with the programming these little robots, except pretty soon after you start playing it, there's multiple robots and you have to use the same code, if you want to call it that, to work all of them. And it gives this kind of this choo-choo rocket programming, but not too complex sort of it gameplay to it. And people can check that out, and that's free. Whereas Space Chem, maybe watch the trailer, try the demo. I think a lot of people, once they see the trailer, even if they're kind of unsure, they're going to think, wow, this looks really cool. Because once you get like your little tracks set up and whatnot, like it just looks so cool to see like these little molecules pop in and then flip around and attach to each other and go output to another reactor that does something with them. So it's really satisfying, really cool. And I would say don't be too intimidated by it, because it'll teach you how to play it. After that, like I said, I've been playing just a bunch of other stuff that, you know, I've already kind of talked a lot about. So I'm going to just go ahead and throw it to you guys, and maybe I'll think of something else that I'm forgetting.
All right.
Yeah,
then... I'll take it then. So last Wednesday, I got invited by Sega to view some of their upcoming titles. And
jealous.
Yeah, I know there was one or two that you wanted to see, and there was
one that I wanted to see.
And well, I can talk about, I think, about seven of them. Three of them are under embargo still.
Can you talk about the one that I want to talk about?
No, I can't talk about that. Here's, if you know Sean, you know what he's into, and I wasn't impressed by it. But that could change. That could change. One, I thought, actually, the first one I saw that I was impressed was called Renegade Ops. And this is a twin stick shooter made by Avalanche. They're the Swedish team behind the Just Cause series. Now, I know that I loved the Just Cause. Well, I love Just Cause 2. The first one was solid. But I know some people may not appreciate them or may not appreciate twin stick shooters. But one thing is, I think you'd have to admit that the demo looked and felt really good. So it started off, you control this Jeep, and later you get this helicopter. And you go through this kind of jungle and ocean theme level. And the Jeep was armed with kind of a standard machine gun. You could pick up homing rockets. Those were a commodity. And then you had this EMP blast that kind of took over the screen with this cooldown period, so you could use it repeatedly. And unlike, I think, a lot of twin-stick games where one stick really is kind of a one-to-one controls your vehicle or person, this one was physics-based, so there was definitely momentum. There was one instance, it was kind of funny, one of the developers was with me, and you're going on these high kind of platforms, almost like MotorStorm. And I just said, hey, can you take it off the side? Which I did, and just went over the side, and he had to reset it. And he's like, oh, you know, try not to go over the side right now. It's still, you know, in beta. But anyway, you have this momentum, and you can kind of flip your truck around if you turn too fast. You can even crash into things. And crashing is actually encouraged. It doesn't take off damage off your Jeep. And at one point, there was a sniper that was hidden in the upper floor of this building. And so I just rammed the structure, you know, killing the shooter there. The one thing that was really evident was polish. Even when a lot of things were blowing up at once, the frame rate was really silky smooth. But I guess my only concern about the game right now is I asked one of the developers about it. It was kind of the overuse of the circle strafe mechanic. Many of the big enemies, some of the ships and tanks, they had these turrets, and they would kind of rotate, and all you would do is just be on the other side of them and continue to shoot them. And so I was a little bit worried about that. Second, I saw two 3DS games. I saw Crush 3D and Shinobi.
Today was the first I'd ever known there was going to be a Shinobi.
Right, same here.
This is pretty exciting for me.
Why do you have to say that? Well, let me start with Crush 3D. It's an enhanced port. I played the PSP game, and there's actually another PSP game. I believe it's just called Crush? No, Cube. I always get those confused. Okay. And what it is players can kind of flatten the screen.
No, the PSP one was called Crush.
Crush, yeah. I get it confused.
Just Crush.
Just Crush. And so what you can do is kind of flatten the screen. And so what you do is make three-dimensional platforms. You turn them into two-dimensional structures. It's a fine puzzler and all, but I couldn't help but get bored with the demo. Maybe I'm just not into puzzlers, Adam. But I don't know. Maybe it gets more interesting later on, but I was there with one of the guys, and he was trying to pump it up. But I don't know. The character design, the look of the game.
Yeah, it's weird because
it didn't hook me.
They changed the character design significantly from the first one, if you recall.
Still kind of looks lame.
I liked the PSP game, but the fact that they're, I don't know, the aesthetic change kind of worries me.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like it's a sign of other things to come that might be different in the game, but I'm looking forward to this.
Okay.
Especially in 3D, it sounds cool.
The 3D didn't do much for it. I don't know. One of the guys from the Totally Rad Show was there, and he looked...
Jeff Cannata?
Yeah, he looked as disinterested as me.
Oh,
I always forget that the Totally Rad Show is still a thing. I used to watch that all the time.
Yeah, they're broken into like little segments now that you can watch individually.
Hmm.
Which kind of takes away the show appeal to me.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Well, Shinobi looked a little bit better. And if anything, talking to one of the producers, he talked about this kind of commitment to rework things.
Is this a remake of the PS2 one?
No. That one was 3D. This is all kind of 2D, and it almost felt...
Yes. Does it feel like Shinobi 3?
No, not at all. If anything, and you guys are going to get your hopes up, so let me offer this with a caveat. If anything, it feels like Ninja 5-0.
Okay. I like Ninja 5-0.
Yeah, I like that one. The old ninjutsu master there, he's got this grappling hook, and the level I played had some vertical elements, and so you'd have to go, you know, top and bottom. There is, I think, a horse riding level, Sean, for you. I didn't get to see that, but I was promised that. No, there is no palette swap Spider-Man or Hulk.
That was Shinobi 2.
I know.
People don't realize this, but Shinobi 3 is one of the greatest games ever. Revenge of Shinobi gets a lot of love, but Shinobi 3 is
Shadow Dancer?
Amazing. No, Shadow Dancer was a Shinobi offshoot.
Okay. I like Shadow Dancer.
Shadow Dancer is good, but Shinobi 3 is better.
I consider that canon.
It is canon, but it's not numbered. It came in between 2 and 3.
Okay. No, I was mentioning that because I played all the Shinobi games, even the 3D one, which wasn't as bad as I thought most people.
I thought people liked the 3D Shinobi game.
I thought they thought the controls were awful.
I don't know.
Then they used that engine in another game.
They made a Shinobi spinoff called, I want to say, Nightblade or something.
Yeah.
A female Shinobi.
Yeah.
I never played it.
Yeah, I have that. It's kind of like the first PS2 one.
Yeah.
From what I played, it was cool.
This is the first like Shinobi game since the PS2 launch.
Right.
That came out right after launch.
So here's the thing about it. The combat, it requires you to use a guard button rather heavily. Like the enemies will swing like swords or things like that, and it's timing based. In this case, right now, you had to use the R shoulder key to guard against an attack, and if you time it just right, you can, you know, that leaves the enemy open for attack. I didn't like the R. You know, using that as a guard, but I understand that the game will offer remapping. They were pretty adamant about that. But my main problem in the introductory level, there was rarely more than like a single enemy on screen at once. So it was really about almost as much about navigation as it was about fighting.
Okay.
That doesn't worry you guys? Kind of worried me a little bit.
I don't know.
And I asked them, I said, are there going to be at least 2 or 3 enemies on screen? Do you guys remember when they converted Beautiful Joe to the DS?
I remember. I've actually never played a Beautiful Joe game.
Beautiful Joe was really solid on the GameCube, but on DS, in order to keep the frame rate up, I think they limited to 3, maybe 4 enemies on screen at once.
Mm.
And for that kind of game, you need more. And so it really kind of sapped the energy.
With Shinobi, like the 2D Shinobis, were they ever really like that, though?
They were never over the top. They were more about navigation. They were
right.
There were times when there were 3 enemies. Like in the original one, there was, you know, one guy shooting at you. And then But this one really felt like, you know, there was one enemy on a screen, and then you'd move over to the next screen, and then there's like another enemy. It just felt really vacant. And I'm not sure if this was due because it was, you know, an introductory level where you're supposedly learning.
Well, they haven't even announced this game, right?
They must have just now. But
yeah, they announced it today. Today.
Okay.
Otherwise, they wouldn't let him talk about it. Let's hope that we don't get in trouble for this. Hey, should I call Aaron? He's online. Should I call him right now and ask if we can talk about this?
No. If the show doesn't go live till the 27th, that's when they're going to announce it. So 3 days from now.
Oh, I was going to put this up tomorrow.
No, you weren't, Sean. Anyway, moving on. The game I know you guys are so excited to talk about, Mario and Sonic 2012, I guess it is, at the Olympic Games. It looks just like the previous Mario and Sonic titles.
Here's what upsets me every time Mario and Sonic get together.
What upsets you? The fact that they get together?
No, I think that's cool. But here's the thing. 90s, right? Camelot. My favorite developer. Making my favorite games for Sega. Then something happened, and now they're all buddy-buddy with Nintendo. Oh, that's terrible. We'll never see Shining Force again, except for these garbage games they're going to make say Shining Force on them that have nothing to do with Shining Force. Oh, wait. Now Sonic and Mario are all buddy-buddy. Why hasn't this opened the gate for Camelot games? Why can't I get the last two parts of Shining Force 3? That's all I want. I want Sega to say, hey, Sonic, just go in there and sweet-talk them. Just say, hey, while I'm getting this gold medal, why don't we talk to Camelot a little bit about Shining Force 3?
Hmm.
Okay, could happen. One of the things I was talking to one of the PR reps, which was really interesting about it, is I didn't know every time they throw a screenshot up, they have to have the equal number of Sonic and Nintendo or Sega and Nintendo characters.
Really?
Like there's like, in order to get a screenshot out, he had to wait and you had to go through the Olympic Committee, Nintendo, all these different things.
Oh,
because
dear.
There's one little background element, which is going to be in the Olympics. And I didn't even notice it. And they had to okay it and say, okay, this has been announced. This hasn't been announced, I guess, in the opening ceremonies or the aesthetics of the game, something like that. So
these
games are a huge headache.
The opening ceremony, if it's got
spoiler
Bjork and Lady Gaga both wearing ridiculous outfits,
the world will end.
Oh, man.
Rapture will occur.
They should do that. That would be so over the top ridiculous.
Are they related in any way?
Bjork and Lady Gaga. I think their costume designers are related.
Yeah. So anyway, I played equestrian rowing and some event where you flew through the air on a spinning disc.
Equestrian rowing.
No. Equestrian and rowing. Equestrian rowing would be very cool.
You're on a dead horse in the middle of the lake.
I was thinking like the Trojan horse. Something like that. There was this other one where you sit on a spinning disc, and there was one where you jump on clouds. These felt like they were pulled right out of a Mario Party game. So
these are not Olympic sports. Did someone tell them that
cloud jumping is in Mario's world? They are no. These were the dream events. The last two.
Mm.
You know how they have those hyper real kind of things where you fly around on a spinning star.
I'll be honest with you. No, I don't know.
In space, can't you do? No.
So equestrian rowing is or is not a dream event? Because I've been practicing really hard on that.
Equestrian and rowing, two different things. I was Peach on a horse jumping fairly standard.
You had me at equestrian rowing, and then you just said that it doesn't exist, and now I'm back out again.
So is there or is there not a place for me on the United States 2016 Olympic equestrian rowing team? I need to know because I just paid.
Only if you can throw a shot put while you're doing it and a javelin.
I'll talk to my trainer.
If you're armed with 15 javelin, you can throw at enemies, then we'll talk. No, so this isn't a game for us. One I think that might be for us is Guardian Heroes, which I played a little bit.
If they can put that Saturn game out, why not Shining Force 3?
This is going to be a Shining Force 3 themed, I can tell.
I kind of don't want them to do anything more with this until I get my freaking Radiant Silver gun, though.
Okay. I see that, too. Yeah, I see both sides. Anyway, I know that some of the enhanced graphics had sent the fanboys into a lather.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two screens side by side. One of them turned off, which looked like the old Saturn game, just in widescreen.
Yeah.
And then the new one looked like, Sean knows what I'm talking about, that filter in the Sonic Genesis collection.
Yeah.
Where it kind of reduces the pixelation, but it gives this weird artistic flair to it, like a Photoshop filter.
It's literally a Photoshop filter. I remember in Genesis collection, if you put it on Sonic, you can't read how many rings you have. Because it puts the filter over everything.
Yep. So, anywho, the translation is a little bit better now, and it's probably comprehensible. And from what I understand, the versus mode has been boosted up. I think you can have up to 10 players, like, online. But I never really played the kind of versus mode before. Last couple things, Sega Rally Online Arcade, which actually came out the same day. 5 tracks, $10. It's got a lot of throwbacks, you know, and as far as the music, the stages, the cars. I've always been a fan of rally racing. But for me, the big, I guess, sticking point was I couldn't catch up to the other player in front of me. You know, if you're going to go arcade, you know, do a little rubber banding there. On the game's less technical courses, you know, once a person gets out in front, there's really no catching up with them. I saw the new Sonic Generations, and I played that for about 5 minutes. The setup of the actual space was kind of awkward because if you're playing with the Sonic game, one of them, you're kind of blocking the aisle for people to come through. And so I was really close to the television, and I played the original Sonic level, Green Hill Zone. And I'm not sure if I was too close to the TV or what, or the refresh rate was kind of slow, but it just didn't move, you know. I can pick up, I've played enough, you know, Sonic 1 to just kind of pick it up and clear the first level by, you know, just by memorization. And it just didn't feel right to me. I didn't play it in 3D at all, but it was something about the refresh rate. It just felt weird, like maybe the way the screen was scrolling, the speed. I don't know, when I backed up a little bit, it did seem more
it probably feel like, and this is what I was worried about, it probably feels like Sonic 4 did, or Sonic 4 didn't quite feel right.
Yeah, maybe it's something, well, Sonic 4, it never seemed like you got, you know, got up to speed quick enough.
Well, I think the problem, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I don't know why, but the original Sonic 1, well, all three of the original ones, they're not really all that fast. If you go back and play the original Super Mario Brothers, you go much faster in that than you do in any Sonic game, but the animations lead you to believe you're going a lot faster than you are, because his feet are really going. And in Sonic 4, he doesn't do that, because it's in 3D, and his legs never turn into, you know, crazy spirals, so it's just a dude running, and you're going kind of fast-ish, but it never feels like it does when you've got that sort of abstract image of somebody running really fast.
Interesting.
Am I the only one that's like really kind of weirded out by the concept of this game? Like, you've got new Sonic and you've got old Sonic, and they're in the same place acknowledging each other's existence.
I actually think that's kind of cool. That's the one thing.
Far be it from me to question the canon of the Sonic universe.
But he's kissed a real life girl, so Sonic's, you know, breaking down some barriers.
Spoiler alert: the final boss is going to be Archie Comics Sonic.
Oh no!
What if that's told in the story, Adam?
And then the two cartoon Sonics are going to show up as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, one of those
right after the credits, they'll show up.
One of those is Archie Comics Sonic, but the other one could be crazy, ridiculous cartoon Sonic.
I've heard the last bit of the game, Shadow comes and shoots them both.
The other day, my girlfriend called to tell me that she was on Wikipedia looking something up, and the front page of Wikipedia, you know how sometimes they'll have a sponsored ad or like a featured ad or featured article. The featured article for the day was Shadow the Hedgehog.
Oh dear!
Wow, it was a bad day. Was that the day the world was supposed to end?
No, it was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. One thing I want to also touch on, speaking of rally racing, I got in Dirt 3 today, and I'm a big fan of the Dirt series. Played a couple hours of that. And one of the biggest complaints for many people with Dirt 2 is that it strayed too far from rally racing. For me, I kind of thought the same. I really like racing small European cars on these winding, narrow tracks. When you get things like the Land Rush, where there's these big trucks that are sliding around quarters in like Ensenada, you lose some of that feeling. So Dirt 3's hook is, it's never really explained, you travel in time, so you participate in events in the 70s and the 80s in the current setting, which is cool. Land Rush is still in the game, but the physics kind of been tamed down, at least on the difficulty setting I was playing at. One thing to note, here's my complaint, is that both online play and the ability to kind of upload your runs to YouTube is unavailable until you enter a code that's in the box. But with the PlayStation Store not working, The game is seriously gimped. You can't do any of that. And so you can't even though the multiplayer is working, you can't access it until the PlayStation Store works. So I'm not going to bitch about that. But beyond that, as I mentioned, I am a fan of the series. And so I reviewed Dirt 2 for the PS3. And I found a few frame rate issues. I ended up picking up the 360 version, which was... didn't seem to have the same quirks, which is really weird because the first Dirt for PS3 came out months after the 360 version, and it was technically superior. So I know that they have the engine down. Now, I haven't played the 360 version of this, but I did notice a few instances of slowdown in some of the rally cross races, which led me to believe it's using kind of a similar version of the engine. So for owners of both systems, unless you have like a wheel setup, and traditionally PS3 owners have something like that, you might want to go with a 360 version for Dirt 3. And from what I played, it's a really solid game. Really, you know, really cool. Love the fact that it says my name. I'm always a sucker.
Yeah.
Codemasters, man. Those guys make some really kick-ass games.
Which is weird, because they used to make, like, cheap knockoff games a long time ago.
And Micro Machines.
Holy crap.
I used to like those Micro Machines. You didn't like those? Those overhead racers?
Yeah, I did.
Cool. Oh, okay.
But didn't they also have, like, weren't they one of the companies that produced their own cartridges or something like that for Nintendo?
Yes. Yeah, but I...
If you wanted to access, like, a certain code or features, you would have to call a 900 number.
Mm-hmm.
And then would unlock certain stuff. It was the precursor of DLC.
Yeah. I remember I had one of the Codemasters 4-in-1 gold cartridges. It had like Adventures of Izzy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were called Robin Quattros.
Hood. Yeah.
Quattros, yeah.
I don't remember what the other two games
were. Yeah, I wouldn't call those like knockoffs. So, like,
no, but I mean, they were the unlicensed.
Yeah, they were unlicensed, yeah.
Hmm.
I had one that,
other than Izzy, they were always terrible on NES.
If I recall, I had one that even had a switch on it that you had to flip depending on like if you were playing
to
like
play the different games,
PAL or something, or
oh,
it was to like bypass the, you know, the security that the NES sort of had.
So if you went to England, you could still play it.
I think so.
Look at all the stuff they're learning on this show.
Yeah.
And by they, I mean you listeners, you people.
We're edumacating.
So, Sean.
Yes.
I'm going to pass it to you. So I've talked enough.
All right.
Dirt.
Well, I kind of brought up Archie Comics, so I want to kind of start with that. I read...
Betty.
I read the first issue of the Mega Man comic that Archie Comics just put out.
I didn't know that such a beast existed.
Yeah, it's I don't know, apparently it's a big deal. I went ahead and got a subscription to it just in case it's any good. And the first issue was not bad. The artwork is really good. It's written by some of the same people who do the Sonic comic, which means it's doomed to be
shitty.
Melodramatic. Well, not shitty, just melodramatic and emo. And I'm sure at some point Mega Man's going to have some weird relationship with a squirrel or something. I don't know. But the first issue kind of recaps.
Something illegal?
Well, is it legal for Sonic to kiss a girl, a human girl? Callback. but the artwork's really good. The writing is not bad, but sort of the way it's put on the page is kind of weird. Like, I want to say the timing of the dialogue is off, which sounds weird when you're reading something, but I wish I had it in front of me, but there's one part where it cuts a sentence in half for a dramatic pause in one frame. But it cuts the sentence in a weird place, and it puts the bubbles really far away from each other. So it's like if you were saying, I'm going to go to the store now.
That's the way I talk.
Yeah, but it's like you could put the dramatic, like there are better ways to put a dramatic pause in a comic, and two, like where they put the dramatic pauses doesn't always make sense. But more or less, it's pretty solid. Like I said, I went ahead and got a subscription to it, so maybe after there's been more than just one issue, I might write down my actual opinions on it. But the art's great. If you just like Mega Man and like looking at Mega Man, it looks really good. They got the whole cartoony aesthetic down. The colors are really vibrant.
Does it jive with what we know about Mega Man? Well, so far, his backstory.
So far, it just kind of recaps, the origin and what goes on in Mega Man 1. Like, it does a sort of, it starts out with him at Wily's castle, and he's like, how did it get to this? And then it starts out with Dr. Light presenting the six master robots and Wily taking over and all that stuff. And there's two variant covers, so if you're a collector, there's shit for you to buy. Everybody likes that.
This is making me want to listen to the Proto Men. I love that band.
They do have a name of a Mega Man character. Other than that, I have not been playing a lot of console stuff because my PS3 finally bit the big one for real this time. Are you playing LA Noire? No, it was when I was in New Orleans and my girlfriend was watching Doctor Who on Netflix with her friend slash our new roommate. And they shorted out my system.
What? That's weird.
Was it old Doctor Who or new Doctor Who?
New-ish Doctor Who. Not the newest of the Doctor Who's, but a couple seasons ago.
Don't you have a sonic screwdriver?
No, they had to watch it while I was gone, because every time they watch it when I'm here, like, it's not a bad show by any stretch of the imagination, but I always fall asleep when they watch it, and they get really mad at me. So when I was gone, they were like, we're going to marathon this, and I said, don't do it for longer than 3 hours, because the guy who fixed my PlayStation said you can't play it for longer than 3 hours at a time. And they did. And it killed my PlayStation.
Doctor Who Marathon kills PlayStation 3. I can see the Kotaku headline now.
Yeah, no kidding. But so I don't want to buy a new one until after E3 because I'm pretty sure there's going to be a price drop on that. So in the meantime, I got myself a tablet and I've been playing games on that. I played a game called Robotech, which is not spelled like Robotech, the old show, which I loved. But it's really interesting. Basically, what it is you've got your big robot, and then there's another big robot on the other side of the screen, and you have a slot machine. And the first row of the slot machine goes really slow, so it's really easy to pick what that is. And the other two are pretty random, and they affect stuff. And there's three categories. You always pick which category of slots you want to use before each spin. So it's like the first category will be building soldiers. And the second category will be defensive strategies, and the third category will be offensive strategies, like shooting bigger lasers or a microwave beam or something like that. And the goal is to break down the other robot's defenses and then kill the other robot. But the way they explain it, it's a game of calculated risk, right? So, for example, let's say you get there's three types of robots. There's a tank, there's a drone, and there is a soldier, I think, is the other one. And so let's say they kill your tank. So you can spin to build a new tank, and then the other two things are going to be random. So you're either going to upgrade your tank or upgrade one of your other two robots, or if you want to do like a defensive thing, you can, okay, I know I'm going to build a shield, but will it be a strong enough shield, or will it do these two other abilities just at random? And it sounds like a lot of just gambling, but there's a lot of tactics to it. Like, you need to know whether or not you should attack or you should build or you should defend. And it's really simple, but it's really, really a lot of fun. And in between levels, there's a map of the entire world. You can see you're basically trying to take over the entire map, and you're building up energy as you go along. And so certain areas you can't conquer until you've built up enough energy to do that. But it's really, really good, and it's free.
I noticed that this is from a developer that also does iPhone games, so I imagine there'll probably be an iPhone version.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Right. But yeah, it's Robotech, R-O-B-O-T-E-K.
Did you play the sequel?
Is there a sequel?
Macross with 1S.
That wouldn't be the sequel. That would just be the Japanese version. God damn it. Did you even watch that show? I hate you. I don't really hate you.
Oh.
The other thing, since I had already bought them back when I first got an Android phone, I played all those Gameville games like Xenonia and Xenonia 2 and Lugia.
Yeah.
I will say they play a lot better on a tablet than they do on an Android phone, except for Lugia. Lugia is still kind of wonky, but Xenonia 2 actually plays really good.
I have Xenonia 2 and I've never played it. I reviewed the first one.
Yeah, I mean, they're just kind of...
Those are the Zelda clones, kind of?
Basically.
Sort of, but there's RPG elements to them.
Okay.
There are RPG elements to Zelda. Yeah, the problem with all three of them is they send you on a lot of fetch quests. Even Illusia, which is just, side.
Are they still super grindy?
Xenonia 2 doesn't feel super grindy, because you level up really quickly.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't gotten any points where I feel like I need to move on. You know, like, that first village has so many stupid quests that you have to do. They're like, go collect teeth. Now go collect tails. Now go collect twigs. And so, like...
No, you can make a golem.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but it controls really well. The only weird thing is the animation, since it was set up for a phone, it feels like there's frames missing when you move around.
Yeah.
It feels like you're skipping around rather than, like, a fluid motion. But, I don't know, it's fun. I don't know.
You almost expect them to put a virtual number pad at the bottom.
Yeah. I don't know, like, I don't think I can say with all the free stuff on the Android market, you should spend money on it, though.
Mm. Yeah, until we get game pads.
I heard the PSP version is awful.
There is a PSP version?
I thought so.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was one of those, like, Angry Birds ports.
See, my thing is that Gameville, they obviously have some talent over there.
Mm-hmm.
If they would just slow down and work on one game, I'm sure it would be amazing. But it was, like, as soon as the Android Marketplace came out, there was like, bam, here's like seven, you know, very JRPG-like games, and they look really nice. Like,
well,
much
to
nicer
be fair, those are games they already had, like, for iPhone. So they probably...
Oh, yeah, but I mean, even so, like, they look a lot better than a lot of games for iPhone. And if you've been a gamer for a long time, they're very comfortable because they're very familiar looking.
Mm-hmm. Xenonia came out last October.
Yeah. Yeah, so but I mean if they would just settle down and concentrate on one title and make sure that it works well, I think it'd be great. But
they're all about the money.
Apparently they are. They're apparently based in Santa Ana or something. I don't know. I remember seeing it and thinking, "Oh, I should go visit their studio, see what they're all about."
If you're going to Santa Ana, there's somebody else who probably needs visiting, not them.
NIS?
Yeah, baby.
I actually, funny story, when I first moved out here, NIS used to have a website called Rosencrown, maybe?
Rosenqueen.
Rosenqueen, yeah. I don't know if they still have it or not, but that's what I knew. I didn't know NIS is the software company.
I hate Rosen you. Queen.
What? I'm just saying.
I said, I hate you.
I just knew Rosenqueen was where they sold all the Wild Arms shit. Yeah. So I actually drove to their office because there was some picture on their website that made it look like they had a store. And so I drove to their office. This is like the first week I lived in California, and it was just an office building in the middle of nowhere, like across the street from a Walmart. And I felt very confused and lost. And it's not in the greatest part of town.
Yeah.
So it was just very...
I had that same experience in San Francisco. I was getting a programming book. I happened to be in San Francisco, and I saw the address. And so I went over there, and it was some little small thing. And I said, hey, I really liked your book. You know, I was looking for this. Can't find it anywhere. Do you have another copy? And it was literally like, I don't know, some guy's apartment converted into a publishing house.
Yeah, see, this didn't even have the storefront that I was looking for. Like, at least you could buy something. I got there, and I was like, huh. There's no way into this office building. I guess I will go home. But other than that, I played Monster Hunter Tri just because I heard about the PSP remaster stuff.
Yeah, what's going on with that? That seems like a weird idea.
Well, I'm thinking, this is what I'm at least hoping, this is an attempt to make certain PSP games that didn't click over here profitable. Like, okay. I know, the first thing everybody said as soon as they heard it was, oh my god, Peace Walker.
I'd like that.
Yeah, which would be cool. What I realized, though, playing Monster Hunter Tri, I would much rather play a Monster Hunter game on PSP. I haven't played Monster Hunter Tri since I moved to my new apartment, so since August, I guess. But my old apartment, my TV was like right up in my face because my living room was super small. And now I've got a pretty big living room. And for whatever reason, that distance from the screen in Monster Hunter just takes something away from it. I don't know. And when the sound's all bouncing around the apartment, it kind of gave me a headache and it kind of put me out. But I don't know. we'll see that what works. It just made me really start to think that
You're getting old.
Well, no, it's that these older PSP games are designed for the PSP, right?
Right, and when you blow them up for a large television,
yeah, I'm worried they're not. I mean, yeah, I realize they're in HD, and I saw the side by side comparisons, and they're visually impressive, but I just feel like they're not gonna feel right. If they're well-designed games for the PSP, then obviously the designers were thinking about, what's it like to play this on this little screen like this? They're not thinking about, someday they'll be able to play it how it was really meant to be played.
Hmm. So why are they coming out on Blu-ray in Japan?
Probably because they were setting it up to be released on the PlayStation Store, and then it was gone for 6 weeks, and they thought, hey, maybe we'll put these on Blu-ray.
Yeah, okay.
Makes I have sense. A feeling that there aren't going to be very many big releases on the PSN for a while.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yep. You also realize that there was not a Guardian Heroes announcement for PlayStation Network at that meeting you went to.
Nope.
So that's something that they're going to renegotiate if they had any plans on it.
Well, almost all the systems
all Treasure games have been on the 360 for a while, right?
Yeah, and I don't understand that.
But they eventually make it over to PSN, because Gunstar Heroes made it over to PSN. It was just terrible, but it made it there.
But that's an emulation. They might not even own the rights to that or whatever anymore.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, like, their newer games, Bankai-O, Ikaruga, those are both on 360 only.
Yeah. They seem to favor the 360 as far as programming. Which is weird to me. But,
Yeah, I don't know what's going
on.
Treasure.
There. I wouldn't expect the expected from them.
Well, 360 is the big shooter system.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Hmm, yeah.
So, that's all I've been playing. There's no interview this week, and I was hoping that at this point Samurage would show up, but she didn't. But I'm going to request a musical interlude anyway. Yep. So we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk some E3.
So we're doing this a little bit early, I understand. Well, I guess if I'm not going until the 27th. I guess we're not doing it all that early.
No. But 2 weeks.
But yeah, I figure we would get the pre-E3 discussion out of the way.
Can I kick it off?
I was going to have this whole introductory conversation talking about this, but yeah, why don't you just talk?
Meh. Oh, no.
You can see by the outline, I have it all.
Sorry.
Someone's in a mood.
See, okay. I'd be all sorts of, first, let's talk about Microsoft. Then you can kick it off.
I put on the outline that Microsoft can suck it. Here's why. The Galen Center, which is where they're holding their event on the 6th, can hold about 10,000 people. But for some reason, Microsoft, they didn't invite us.
They didn't invite a lot of people, it seems like. It's kind of weird.
They're giving away systems again.
You think?
Yeah.
But you know, press, don't you want press to be there?
It also seemed like last year giving away systems was kind of received negatively by the press. Like a lot of the articles I saw about
There were a lot of happy people.
There were a lot of people talking about a lot of the bigger sites were all talking about how, oh, it's so frustrating because now I have to get rid of these systems because otherwise our readers will think that we're, you know, getting free shit and blah, 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 and bribes and stuff. It seemed like a lot of the bigger...
I knew about 10 people and they all kept their systems.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, were they all from big outlets?
Ars Technica? Pretty big.
Yeah, Ars Technica is pretty big. I don't know. I know Cheapy gave his away. The Joystick guys gave theirs away. The Kotaku guys gave theirs away, and they all had big articles complaining about how, oh, you have to do this, and anybody you're reading isn't doing this is a terrible person.
Guilt people into giving their systems away. But speaking of which, did you, even if they do give something away, did you guys see the invite at all?
I did see it. I saw
it. It's a sticker campaign. Let me say that again. What? Stickers. Really, Microsoft? I mean, stickers to that are promoting appearance by Luke Skywalker?
Well, what do you mean stickers?
actual stickers that have different stickers or different, you know, it's a single sheet. And they have a lightsaber, they have like a Batman symbol, all these different things.
I didn't see that.
Along with names of people that are, or fictitious people that are going to appear there, like Luke Skywalker. And I doubt the guy from the 2 Live crew.
That's just really confusing. Like, what do they expect people to do with stickers that are mostly adults?
Okay, Edelman is one of the top PR companies in the world. And a couple of years ago, I don't know, sometimes they just do some really lame things. A couple of years ago, they had these spinning badges that I had, and they had different locations that people could visit in L.A. And one of these was this stop where you could, you know, buy drugs really easily. And the other was this place where bootleg games were sold out in the open. It's just like, come on, Microsoft. Like, that's just not smart.
Yeah, sorry, I'm looking at a picture right now. I want to give a shout-out to, what's his name?
What's his name?
I'll just use his CAG name because I don't want to give his real name out. Blue Dot Lounge.
Not Blue CAG.
No, Blue Dot Lounge. I guess he writes for the Examiner. Which seems to be, I don't know if this is just a Los Angeles thing or
The Examiner is kind of a nationwide paper that anyone can write for.
But he posted up a picture of his Microsoft invite.
It's just like stickers. I don't know. Maybe I'm expecting something a little bit
cool. Well, no, I mean, his has, it's like a little plastic attendee tag thing that he wears around his, I see the stickers now. Yeah. Looks like it's got. Oh, it looks like there's a Halo thing on it.
Shocker.
Yeah.
And maybe Gears of War. Is there a chainsaw?
See, his are all like Halo themed. Like there's something that says Spartans Unite, Brothers to the End. It's an evolution. It's a revolution. Sorry, I was about to say it's bad grammar.
Yeah. It's not an evolution at all.
You are the controller. There's Kinect, Spawn Camper, Revive Me, Achievement Unlocked. Press the button, Scavenger. So that seems like a lot of Halo words in there.
That just seems like a lot of, I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to come across as being.
He's also already got his E3 badge.
Hmm.
I thought you were only allowed to pick those up at the convention center.
That's what I thought too.
Hmm.
I don't know. So anyway, Microsoft expectations, you guys?
I mean, what really can Microsoft do this year, right? I mean,
There is a buzz that there might show a new console. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think they're going to do. You remember with the original Xbox when they showed up to E3 for a couple years with just the promise of eventually having a console?
Right.
I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to hint that a new console is on the way without actually revealing anything.
Yeah, wow. I think we're going to get more than a hint, but yeah.
Really? That you're going to walk away feeling like, you know, a hint of something?
I feel like at the end of the show, they're going to say something
on the way. I remember when Sony talked about the PlayStation 3, but they didn't really show it, and then they had the controversy with the rendered videos. Mm-hmm. And I walked away, and I went to that one, and I just thought, really? You know, expect something a little bit more tangible than that.
Yeah, but I think the 360 is still selling really well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still selling really well. They're supposedly putting a lot into the Kinect this year.
Oh.
And they talked about so much about how Kinect is a platform in and of itself that I don't think they'll want to overshadow that.
Did I tell you that I got in Virtua Tennis 4, the 360 copy, and so I thought, well, I better find a Kinect to play this. And it is just awful. Like the responsiveness was horrible.
Mm.
And I also played another game. Two Kinect games that I can't talk about. They were really bad.
Is either one of them the game that I wanted to talk about but can't?
No.
Ah, oh, thank God.
It's another. I better not even say anything about that. But it was very unresponsive.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I'm just not sold.
I want
Kinect.
Steel Battalion.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a Kinect game. They'll probably show something about that.
Yeah. Children, or Child of Eden, whatever it's called. I'm sure that's coming out very soon, so I'm sure they'll be plugging.
Hold on. Are you guys still there?
Yep.
I thought because Microsoft owns Skype now that they cut the call because we were talking shit about them.
No. Sage called me.
No, I called Deagle.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stay tuned.
Look out! Quick, get it back up! Hurry!
The are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stay tuned.
Are we all clear? Oh, okay, we're all clear. Great. All right, hit the red button. No, not that button!
And now, Freakazoid!
Hey guys, sorry for the technical difficulties, but to make up for it, we have Sage with us now.
Hooray!
Hello.
So,
I apologize for being late.
So we were wrapping up the Microsoft discussion when last we left off, so I don't think we really had much to add. I mean, Kinect stuff, there may or may not be a new console hinted at. I don't think they're going to reveal it this year. I think they've got too much on the line, and I feel like that if they revealed it this year, they would be up against too much, because they've got the Nintendo console, they've got the NGP. I don't think they'd want the Xbox 720 or whatever you want to call it to get lost in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. So you think rather than show rather than compete by showing something, that they're just going to wait and show it later?
I think they're going to say something's on the way and then show it next year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned, Sean, that you thought that they were going to be heavy with third-party stuff.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's what I was talking about when the call dropped.
Which I also think, too, which is strange, because a lot of that stuff is not going to be 360 exclusive.
Well, I think what we're going to find out is that Arkham City is going to have an exclusive mode on the 360 version, similar to the, if not Joker. Exactly like the Joker mode, yeah. I think that's why they've got Mark Hamill showing up. And I also think we're going to find out that
No. Mark Hamill showing up for Kinect Star Wars.
Oh, Kinect Star Wars, you think? I was going to say, I wonder if the fact that they were pushing lightsabers, too, is that they were going to talk about Old Republic or whatever.
No, they have a Kinect. I've heard repeatedly. I think they showed a demo.
But they do have a Batman sticker on there, and they wouldn't be toting Batman without there being something special there.
But they also have Luke Skywalker, the name, and so I think Mark Hamill, they're trotting him out to show a new Kinect Star Wars lightsaber game, which to me, don't you have to hold something? I mean, maybe it'll come with a small piece of plastic, but
They kept talking about that when they first showed the Kinect, is that it would have these accessories that it could recognize.
Maybe I can use my Move controller.
I think the inherent problem with a sword fighting game on one of these systems is that you have no... Like, if you clash with another sword, your hands in real life can keep going. And so you get that disconnect right there.
Yeah, you know what, Sword and Shield of, what was the Sony Move thing?
Champion?
Sports Champion, the Sword and Shield element, when you have two moves, that handled it pretty well.
I think
talking about, Adam, is definitely true, but... Yeah.
I think it's possible to build a peripheral that makes up for that. It would just be very expensive, because you'd have to put a lot of rumblers in there, and they'd have to be really top-heavy, so that when you hit something, it literally pushes you back.
Mm-hmm. Or even just gives you enough of a shock that it makes your brain think, oh, I hit something. I mean, that's not so hard to do, I don't think.
It would just be expensive.
Right. So you got people dying because their heart stopped.
Yeah.
No.
so that's Microsoft.
We're not expecting much from them.
I just don't think there's going to be anything earth-shattering, you know? I think they're going to have a solid showing. I just don't think it's going to be...
I think they have to do something. I think they're going to bring out... They have one big surprise. Yeah.
I think last year it was the
Slim, which wasn't a huge surprise. But I think they have something.
I think Microsoft, I mean, they're going to show Gears of War, they're going to show Halo. I think their deal is that, hey, Sony and Nintendo are asking you to spend hundreds of dollars on new hardware. Why do you want new hardware when you can spend that same hundred of dollars and get 7 or 8 great new games? I think that's going to be their platform. That's got to be.
But new hardware would also be Kinect. They still want people
Kinect
to buy it.
They would argue that people already have Kinect. They already sold a couple million.
8 million is not the world, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're not going to debut anything. They're going to say, hey, you've got your Xbox here, play these games for it.
I don't know. I think that's going to be a really weak strategy unless they come out with something pretty epic, because if new systems are coming out that clock faster and have better graphics and all of that stuff, then them being like, but look, you could play this other game on the 360, unless it's a really epic game.
If they have a Windows phone segment, wake me up.
I'm sure they will, but I'm sure it'll be short. No, my thing is that I think the quote-unquote core gamer is wise to the fact that launches are weak now. I don't think... I think if you're saying, hey, you could buy, you know, this Nintendo system that's going to have a couple shitty games at launch, or you could spend that same money on these games you know you're going to like and wait for the Nintendo system to get a couple good games and drop in price, I feel like that's going to hit an audience.
Yeah,
I feel like I feel like it'd be irresponsible for them not to go after that.
Right. I could see that working, maybe.
Let's talk about Sony. Sony is the one I'm really curious how this one's going to go down. I mean, you know, we talked about the PlayStation Store and stuff. And it seems like the company right now, they just can't win with gamers. One of the things was I thought it was really strange. They kind of hype people up with that announcement of the free games. And then you don't deliver right away.
Yeah,
I mean, that should have been within 7 days, you know, so that was kind of a dodgy PR move. But I'm really curious. They have to announce, you know, or they have to address, you know, the outage. But I wonder if they're going to do it up front, in the middle, how the audience, you know, feeling is going to be. Like, I really feel for Sony speechwriters.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the tough thing is that these I feel like they're just going to ignore it. To be perfectly honest, because
I don't think.
Well, here's the thing. Okay,
they gotta mention it,
but the whole idea behind these press conferences isn't to tell investors here's what happened. It's to get people excited, and
but when there's such an event that it's so monumental like this, you have to make people feel good and say, okay, the past is behind us. We have new security measures in place. Like, at least address it.
Yeah,
because
if
you don't address it, you're never going to get people to kind of overcome that negative attitude towards a product.
Maybe. Plus, let's say you open up and you say, you know, here's Metal Gear. Ah, people are excited. Oh, here's Killzone 8. Ah, people are excited. And hey, by the way, while you're up on a high, we're really sorry, and we're going to install these security measures, and we're going to do this and that, and that's just going to kill their momentum. I feel like they will address that in some way during the show. I don't really think it'll happen during the press conference, and if it does, it'll be like at the very end when they trot out what's his name, short tubby guy,
Jack Trenton,
you know, sort of like he did last year when he was talking about the leak.
He acknowledged it.
Yeah, but I think it'll be something off the cuff like that. You know,
really, I feel like, I don't know, I think their best strategy, because I agree that they'd kill their momentum if they did that, but I think
but
that
I'm
they're better...
up front. You have to hit it up front.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they're better strategy, but I don't think that they'll come up with it. They I think they could get away with not trying to explain it, but if they come out and they're like, you know what, we screwed the pooch, we're really sorry, we hope you can all forgive us, you know, go Sony, go everything.
And then they start
with, here's Metal Gear, yay, here's Killzone, yay, like, because then everyone will go, oh, they apologized, and they brought us dessert, hooray, and everyone will get over it.
Or they're going to have, if their schedule stays the way it is, they're going to have the PlayStation Network up and running at 100% by the end of the month, then gamers will have a whole week to get over it, and then they don't even have to address it because everybody has... Yeah, people have a short-term memory.
That's true, they do, but I think that they should apologize. Like, even just to be like, hey, we're sorry.
But yeah. I think Kaz needs to come out and do his deep bow.
I swear to God, they're not even going to mention it during that press conference.
No. I feel like they're going to mention it in the sense that they're going to talk about all the new security stuff that they have, but they're not even going to mention why they're talking about that.
Okay, I'll buy that. That sounds
That sounds possible, but I would even be willing to bet they don't even do that. I think they'll stick straight to games, and they'll talk about how great the NGP is, and we can finally stop calling it the NGP. I hate that.
Yeah, let's call it what it is, GSP2.
Let's bet lunch. I say there's some at least acknowledgement to it, at least it, more so than what Adam said about security measures.
You want
to
put some money on that?
Yeah, I said lunch.
Oh, boy.
All right, yeah.
At a restaurant of your choice.
All right.
So wait, what's the bet?
That they acknowledge the security, at least security measures, at the very minimum.
And Sean, I'm says saying they gloss over. Yeah, they just stick to games and systems.
I'm betting
and a price drop.
Okay, Adam.
Yes, sir.
What's your side of things?
I told you my side.
Okay.
I'm somewhere in betwixt.
Okay.
So Deagle and I are the ones laying lunch on the line.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'll just be there like, hey, do I get lunch too?
No, I'll match the lunch bet. I think that they will. I don't think they'll go into full security measure like breakdown, but I think that they will mention it and say something about.
They have to.
We're sorry, we screwed up, and we're gonna we've got these new measures. I think they may leave it at that, but I will bet lunch that they at least mention that much.
Deep down, I'm really rooting for Sony. Uh-huh. I can't help but root for them. You know, in all the years that I've covered games, I don't think I've seen a console manufacturer in such a place where
they really help.
You know,
they really got damaged by something that. Ultimately, to a company should be very small.
Yep.
Like they should have been able to handle this way better than they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So okay, let's move on. Nintendo.
Oh wait, we didn't even talk about the NGP. NGP's gonna be there. It's gonna be what I'm excited about. It's gonna be Monster Hunter on it, and I will steal one if it has Monster Hunter on it.
There'll almost certainly be some kind of Metal Gear stuff on it, so I'm looking forward to that.
I'm not taking any of those bets. I agree with you all.
Yeah.
On that but, one.
Yeah, so NGP is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now we can move on.
Okay.
So Nintendo, they're coming into the show. They got the dying Wii. I think we'd all agree about that. And definitely lackluster 3DS sales. So... I'm wondering, every year Nintendo does this thing where they kind of spin, they talk about the records they broke, and they really can't do that this year. I mean, yeah, there were some big sales figures, but like Sony, they got to admit, like, hey, you know, there were some missteps here.
Well, no, they don't. They've got a new system to unveil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from what people have said about, or what are we calling it, Project Cafe?
Project Cafe, yeah.
The idea to me, from what I've read, it just seems sketchy at best. You know, if this thing's kind of a big touchscreen that plays tablet-like games, I just don't want it.
Well, we don't know what it is yet, right?
I mean, a number of websites have said, some of the big gossip sites have
the controller
said,
that people are describing sounds a lot to me like a misunderstanding of just using a 3DS as a controller.
Really?
I feel like, I feel like if you've already got some people out there who have 3DSs, why not sell them a system where they can sort of enhance it with...
Yeah, sort of like the GameCube model.
Yeah, except it would be better.
Yeah. So this is going to interface with the 3DS.
Yeah, well, think about it this way. With the 3DS, or with the GameCube, it was, I have to have the GameCube and and a GBA and a cable. And if my friend comes over and we want to play whatever that... Crystal Chronicles, or Four Swords, or whatever, he has to have his GBA and his cable.
Did you know anyone that had that set up, Sean?
With all four of them?
Yeah, or at least...
No, my brother and I played Crystal Chronicles once like that.
I always wanted to play, but...
Crystal Chronicles was a terrible idea. That was not a good game. Mm-hmm. So that kind of poo-pooed that. But apparently Pac-Man for GameCube was really fun if you had four people and four GBAs.
Play that. There's a Namco, I think, museum that has a Pac-Man versus for the DS. So you can still play it that way, yeah.
But anyway, so what I was getting at was that the big problem with that is you could never have your friends over and just say, hey, let's play this game with your GBA and my GBA, because it just was too complicated. But now with wireless...
Yeah, with wireless, with the fact that a lot of people are going to have these systems already, and then you could still, at least for a lot of the launch titles and stuff, you know, support having some generic controller like a GameCube or a Wii controller or something like that.
And oh my god, if the important thing is just the touchscreen and they could have it so it works with a DS Lite, that would just blow everybody's mind.
Yeah,
like that thing that you're getting ready to get rid of, that's your controller now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, and I have throughout my life been continuously impressed by the things that Nintendo has done. I think they have some, not to loosely use the term, but I do think they have some pretty visionary people working for them, and I think they do come out with pretty cool stuff before. I mean, the Wii came out and was functional as a sort of interactive media console really before Kinect or anything else
got off the ground
at all.
I'd like to see a Metroid that's not some weird spin-off, because, I mean, people who read my review know that I thought Other M was a good game, but I did not think it was a good Metroid game.
Yeah, well, I remember that.
The weird thing about Metroid has been that it was developed in Japan, and it never really got as popular there as it was over here.
Right.
So when they made the Metroid Prime series, that's why they gave it to that, what was the name of the studio in Texas?
Retro.
Yeah, because they were like, hey, you guys know what Americans like. And then those got really popular in Japan, and they were like, you would like this back now.
Yeah.
And I don't think they really understood what was good about the game.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was just weird when I heard that announcement that it's going to Team Ninja. I said, really?
Yeah.
Of all the... And it did definitely have that kind of spastic fighting vibe.
I guess I thought it was just going to be a lot more Metroid than Ninja Gaiden, and it was.
Right. Yeah. I still like it. Like,
but Metroid games aside, I think that the Project Cafe, you know, I think it'll be good. I don't think that they're going to... I don't think that they'd be willing to release something if it was just kind of lame. Like, the 3DS, I think, didn't work out maybe as well as they hoped it would. But I don't think they would release a new console system without feeling confident that, like, this is something that's new that people are going to like.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if it's just a streaming media center for your 3DS? Like, what if the reason it's... Well, what if... Yeah, what if it's, like, the idea of Project Cafe is that you have one of these in your home, right? Well, what if you go to Starbucks and they've got one there and you can play any game in the Starbucks library as long as you're there?
That sounds way too advanced for Nintendo.
For Nintendo, yeah.
It's not that, and when you think about it, there's a whole rental game structure that used to make Nintendo a lot of money and doesn't anymore. Because, you know, when you've got a Blockbuster and you buy one disc of a game, that costs you a couple grand to get that license. And that's something that there are a lot fewer companies doing. So what if they made a system that's designed to do that? Like, I can
no,
have a...
I think that could work. I think that could be a possible move for them.
Yeah, interesting idea.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking out loud here. I think that streaming media is going to be a big part of this system.
Well, the buzz is that they're getting back to...
Why aren't we playing on live, then?
They're getting back to the hardcore gamer, supposedly. And
that's what they said last year, too, when we got Kirby, Epic Yarn, and Donkey Kong, Jungle, and...
And Metroid.
Those were good, though.
They were, but I'm just saying that's what they think, and I guess maybe know that the core gamer wants.
Well, I think there's a difference between a core gamer and a Nintendo hardcore fan.
That,
and
that's
I think
that's who they're interested in, though. It's a Nintendo hardcore fan.
Yeah, that's the problem. Nintendo has several demographics that are important to them.
If you want to say the core gamer is the guy who plays shooters, they haven't been interested in that since Super Nintendo.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think the media streaming thing could be a cool tilt, but I hope that's not the only aspect to it. But, I mean, I've heard that it's, you know, that they're really moving in the direction of, I mean, supposedly it runs faster than both the other, you know, major...
Both the other five-year-old systems?
No, well...
My phone runs faster than my PlayStation 3.
Well, that's because your PlayStation 3 is broken right now.
Oh, snap! Burn. Literally
Who.
Burn to death.
Doctor Who?
Don't pretend like you get that joke, you latecomer.
What? I was just talking about Doctor Who.
It was the Doctor Who marathon that killed the PlayStation 3.
Oh, really? That's sad.
It is.
Yeah, in many ways. All right. Moving on, Nintendo. Anything else? Adam, did you give us your thoughts? What you think Cafe is?
The 3DS is going to be the controller for the most part.
Also, I think they're going to show the new Mario game for 3DS, and people are going to like it regardless of what we see about it.
Oh, can I just say really quick that if any consoles or systems or whatever you want to call them start streaming games so I don't actually own them, I'm going to be so turned off by that.
I'm not going to say that they're streaming games like that. What I was saying is that you have all of your games on this center console, and then you stream them to the controller.
You know what?
Then the system will go down, or they'll stop supporting it, and then I won't get to play those anymore. And I hate that idea.
No, it'd be like, let's say all the games you bought on the PlayStation Network, they're on your hard drive. You just, if you're not playing them on your TV, you're playing them on your PSP.
That I'd be okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I guess.
I'm saying you're owning those games, and it's just you can stream those games to other devices.
Right.
Plus, streaming games could work if they charged you less. Like, you could still buy a hard version of the game if you wanted to, but then you could stream the game for less money. That would be really good for people who, say, want to try a game, or they're not sure if they're going to like it, or maybe it's a game they know they just want to play at once. They don't really care about having it.
But on Adam's note, there's a reason that we don't do that here in America, and it's called Mega Man the Wily Wars.
Okay.
Sean, I'm beginning to buy what you're selling here. I'm just looking at the name Project Cafe, and the whole idea of cafe going with something streaming being served. I think there's something, you know, there's definitely an idea or concept why they decided to call it that.
Right. Yeah, you know? I agree.
And so I think just the name hints at some kind of media that's being transported.
What do you guys think it's actually going to be called? I'm thinking Super Wii.
Super Wii.
Yeah.
That's like super dirty.
I like Super Wii.
I'm thinking
Espresso.
How about a lot of Wii?
I was going to make a penis joke, but you've already made two.
How about the Wii-ness?
Three. You know what? I think it's just going to be called the Nintendo penis joke.
Mine was not a penis joke. It was a pee joke. Okay, thank you.
Don't touch the Virtual Boy.
No, I think it's going to be something completely new. I think because Nintendo is about branding this stuff, and they've already said that it will be able to play Wii games, but it won't be anything like the Wii. So they won't continue the Wii branding into this. It'll be something new. Just like when the DS came out, they were like, well, it's not a Game Boy, because we might actually do another Game Boy, so we'll call it the DS.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. I see that.
So it'll be something completely crazy that has taken crack team of game system namers several months to come up with.
Maybe they'll call it the Ultra of the Revolution.
Mm.
Or just the Ultra. That would be pretty
cool. The Dolphin.
There you go.
It'd be cool if they called it the Ultra. Actually, of all the names of all their systems, I think I like GameCube the best, because it was descriptive on multiple levels and referred to it in several ways, and it's a cute name, and it's a good name. It's not just cutesy.
And it was a cube.
And it was, well, right, exactly. It was a GameCube. It was a cube, and it played games.
And it had a handle on it.
Yeah.
How many consoles have a handle?
Totally. And the discs were small, which I liked, because I didn't have to feel like I had to. I mean, I have small hands, so that could be a me thing, but I didn't like, I liked not feeling like I'm going to get fingerprints on this disc.
Oh, the Blu-rays are the worst about fingerprints.
Right.
I look at the Blu-ray disc, and it's already got fingerprints on it.
You guys are driving me nuts right now. You know that, right?
What?
Fingerprints.
Stop it.
You don't like fingerprints?
Hey, no. Deagle, turn around real quick.
Fingerprints.
Pick a random game off the shelf.
All right, I'm going to do this, actually. Okay, got it.
All right, open it up.
It's sealed.
Okay, pick a different one then. Pick a different one. Make it a PS3 game.
PS3 game, okay. I'm going to unplug my mic when I'm doing this.
This is exhilarating, okay. I'm sure. All right, now open it up.
Do you hear that? Yeah.
All right, now take it out.
Yep.
And look at the back.
Spotless.
Fingerprints. Perfect. Fingerprints.
No, there's not.
Fingerprints.
There's not a single print, buddy.
All right, now take your finger.
No.
Press it up against it.
Oh, you take your finger, put it where the sun don't shine.
Well, that was a waste of time.
All right, so anyway.
That's golf. Immaculate.
Eagle, you know what's going to happen when I see you at E3? No.
You're not putting fingerprints on anything.
No, no, I'm going to high-five you, and then my fingerprints are going to be all over your hands.
I can wear gloves like Michael Jackson in hip-hop.
I'm gonna find a way to get you to take them off when we're eating. Yeah.
Giggity?
Giggity, giggity.
Oh, don't start that again.
All right, so that's the press conferences, but now we get to talk about the other stuff we're going to see, all that great third-party stuff that we're looking forward to.
Like a new Jim and Earl.
I would love to see that.
I don't know. I just pulled that out of nowhere.
Don't fuck with me about Toe Jam and Earl, because I even liked the crappy Xbox one. I would love to see another Toe Jam and Earl.
Don't fuck with me.
a weird roguelike. Why not?
If it's Toe Jam and Earl, shouldn't it be Don't Funk with Me?
Here comes
that's the
hype.
Name.
By the way, guess what the soundtrack of this episode is going to be?
Here comes
the Panic on Funkatron.
Word. All right, but anyway, Samurage, since you showed up late, why don't you start us off and tell us what you're looking forward to seeing on the show flow?
I'm sorry. Well, Project Red CD, The Witcher 2 peeps. I'm looking forward to stopping by them and checking their stuff out.
It's going to be Witcher 1 and 2 on PlayStation 3.
Shut up, man. No, I mean, okay, fine. But I would even just like to meet them because I think that their stuff is pretty cool, and I'm impressed by the fact that they came up with their own engine to use for their second game.
Yeah, as much as, like, I don't typically go for RPGs or action RPGs, like, I was watching footage of The Witcher 2, and I was like, wow, this actually looks really cool. Like, how serious
really
it takes itself, and, like, the way that they put, like, they try to put actual science behind the magic and potions and stuff.
Totally.
I think that.
And not only that, but I really like that they have a system that actually gives you a different playthrough and a different ending if you are trying to be a neutral character. Because there are very few other games that actually, like, good and bad have different things, but neutral doesn't. And they're
wasn't
one of the
there a Star Wars game where if you...
Knights of the Old Republic went into tried, I think, but I still don't think they did as good. I mean, this has a very, like, I haven't played all the way through Witcher 2 yet, but Witcher 1 has a very definite, like... There's a very, very different kind of pathway and ending, which happens for you if you're entirely neutral. And I think that that's going to continue into Witcher 2 because you can use your character from Witcher 1 and transport it into Witcher 2, which I haven't done yet. But I'd be surprised if it didn't have an effect on the good, bad neutrality of the second game as well.
The third game is going to be called The Witchest.
The Witchest.
Most witchedly.
The most witchy.
Most witchestly. Super witchy.
Super witchy.
You know what? Wait, I gotta stop this real quick. So, on our outline, I didn't fill out what I'm looking forward to. So, my good buddies Tide and Deagle filled it out to be Shining Force Unleashed 2 Turbo Edition. And that actually sounds pretty amazing. I would like a revamped Shining Force 2.
Sounds so
electric
good.
Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
And so BioShock Infinite, I see that on your little list there, Samridge.
Yes. Well, obviously, I think anyone who has listened to the podcast more than once knows what a big BioShock fan I am. I see it's also on your list.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. When I heard there was a new BioShock coming, I was like, "What?" And then they announced it and showed it, and I was like, "Oh, this is super different."
No, I was worried when I first heard about it coming out that it was going to be the same thing. And then I saw that trailer, and then I was there's a cafe that's like the only restaurant that stays open here late. It's like a hole in the wall, and they know me really well. And I went in, and I was sitting there. This is months ago, and the owner brought up his Game Informer that he had just got because he knows how into video games I am. And he showed me the article on BioShock Infinite, and I read it right there before I even ordered, and I was just so impressed by everything.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
And there's one picture that they've been showing in like the last batch of screenshots they've had, where the girl, I guess her name's Elizabeth, that you're trying to save.
Yeah.
It's a picture of her standing behind a dead horse, and she's sitting so that her cleavage is, like, way out there.
What?
Just, yeah, like, all the pictures of her have been that way, though.
The juxtaposition of all this cleavage and the dead horse, and the fact that she's the only thing that's in any real bright colors, is so weird to me.
Is it just me, or does she look totally, almost totally different than she, well, not totally different, but really different than she did in previous footage and...
No, she looked like I remembered her from the reveal trailer. She's very cartoonish.
I think she looks different, but okay.
I don't know. I guess I probably haven't been paying as close attention to it as you guys, because I like BioShock, but I never really let myself get super into it.
Hold on, I'm looking right now.
I kind of think that they should have called it, like, you know, follow the system bio... prefix and call it like AeroShock or not SkyoShock like people were saying, because that's dumb.
Well, I mean, yeah, because they had System Shock and then,
yeah,
But I think the difference there is that they would have made BioShock a System Shock game if it was if they still owned the System Shock license.
Plus,
well,
I think
no, the guy I forget his name, but the guy who is
Levine?
Behind what?
Ken Levine.
Yes, if he's the guy that's in charge, the
yes.
head like mm-hmm. creative designer.
Yep.
He gave this whole interview where he was talking about how the thing that he likes, the theme that he likes and wants to carry through is the element of, you know, genetics and science and humans and how they evolve or don't evolve or and that kind of play with it. But that, like, System Shock on its own was a complete thing. BioShock was a complete,
right.
you know, the whole for the sea thing was a complete, it's finished. They're never going back to that. They're not going to mention it. They're not going to allude to it. This is, like, the reason they called it Infinite is because it's the idea that, like, this thematically is going to continue forever, but the story is going to continue to change all the time.
That's sort of like when Michael Keaton said he'd never make another Batman movie, and then they made one without him, and they called it Batman Forever.
I don't know. Like, if they're going to not tie this in at all to the previous BioShock games, like, storyline-wise, why are they calling it BioShock?
Because he you should listen to his interview, because I'm not going to be able to explain it as articulately as he did. But essentially, the BioShock is meant to refer to that thematic thing that will continue through, which is that play between, you know, humanity and evolution and all that stuff. And that they want to, you know, continue that theme and pay homage to that, but they don't want to continue any of the storyline elements. Like, they want it to be a new thing.
They're like Mario games.
No, not like Mario games.
And besides...
Mario game.
Besides, Deus Ex is kind of the new System Shock.
Is
it? To be honest. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm.
System Shock was really similar in ways to Deus Ex. Mm. But speaking of Deus Ex, I'm really looking forward to that. It's coming out not long after E3, so I don't know how much more they're going to be showing than they already have.
But... I'm sure they'll still show. It's going to be like Space Marine, right? They're still going to show a bunch of it. Oh, by the way, I'm super looking forward to Space Marine.
I know, you've been looking forward to that for years now.
Yes.
I really feel like they should come up with a better name, though.
Than Space Marine?
Yeah, because...
They were the original Space
Marine. I know they are, but, like, unfortunately, that's been kind of stolen, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I was really bummed because I actually tweeted Raf... Oh, my God, his name's escaping me. But the director, the art director on Space Marine, I follow him on Twitter. I tweeted at him. It's like, hey, who do I need to talk to get in to see Space Marine this year? And I didn't hear anything from him. And then when I got my tablet and I set it up, I set up Twitter, and it's like, you have all these mentions that you didn't know you had. And one of them was from him. He's like, hey, do you want to do an interview?
Oh,
like,
wow.
No, I don't know a professional way to say, hey, I completely ignored you for a week, and now I want to do an interview with you. Also, you and I want to have your babies.
Just say that your mailbox got slammed or that you were busy. You can be professional and be like, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you right away, but I do really want to interview you and have your babies.
I do really want to interview him and have his babies and yell at him for using Ultramarines instead of Space Wolves, because, honestly, Ultramarines... But this will be, I swear, this will be the last year that that's my game of show.
Mm-hmm. So,
So anyway, Ubisoft. I love Ubisoft. Whatever they show me, I'll probably like.
Oh, we're sending you to the Ubisoft press conference then.
I love Ubi. I'm fine with it.
Oh, this is funny.
What have they got coming up other than Assassin's Creed?
Well, let's see. Last year they showed us their fake knockoff vitality sensor. And they showed us...
Wasn't that canceled?
Sean White snowboarding.
No, skateboarding was last year.
Skateboarding.
They showed us
Trackmania
and
Michael Jackson.
So it's like for every great
Stop the show. Laser tag. They showed us fucking laser tag.
They did show us laser.
Did that ever come out?
Laser tag went over like a nauseous fart. It was just.
Yeah.
Everybody nodding.
Hey, can you guys contain your glee for a minute? It's true that not everything they touch is gold, but they have some real awesome stuff, all right? Plus,
they have Ghost Recon and Assassin's Creed. And
Splinter Cell. They did Splinter Cell.
Kind of Rayman.
I'd like another Splinter Cell that kind of returns to the roots.
Another Splinter Cell if it's not like the last Splinter Cell, because the last Splinter Cell makes me
what
sad.
Happened to
disappointing.
The Beyond Good and Evil remake?
Yeah.
Sequel, remake, or.
I know they were saying that depending on how well the HD remake HD thing remakes. Was going.
They say that about everything. They just want people to buy their junk.
True.
Jeez, so much hating in here. Wow.
No, I but, like but I Ubisoft, think... but. Yeah, I don't know.
All I'm saying is that I'm the last holdout of this group that still goes to the Ubisoft press conference, and even I, as
I went last year.
I was. No, you remember,
Hip Hop Gamer was dancing to my.
Oh, maybe that was year before last that you.
I was
you
between
left
you.
My ass there.
Well, Sean, yeah. I will go with you. You and I can go.
I actually might not go this year.
What?
I have RSVP'd, but I might not be able to go.
So suck it up and go with me.
We'll see. But I thought I didn't mean to dog on them so hard. I just thought it was funny that you said everything made it sound like everything they put out was great when half.
No. I mean, they like every game company, they have some stuff that's not, you know, brilliant. Sage, what?
You if they show Just Dance 3, you got to get up and dance. You got to shake the hawk.
No. If I have the mohawk up that day, then I will maybe get up and dance. Maybe I'm not good at those dance games though.
That's okay, because the Kinect will not be looking directly at you during the press conference.
Okay. That's fine.
So what happened to XCOM, huh?
That's a good question.
Disappeared off the face of the earth. Yeah.
Yeah, like they showed footage of the aliens that were kind of like these black, gooey things that ran around and looked really unsatisfying to fight.
Yeah.
And blocks. Then they were never heard of again.
Probably
and
because
that
they
game...
realized...
In the room next to it, the one it was a first-person shooter set in Dubai.
I don't remember that. No,
I went to an enclosed booth and it crashed twice.
I just remember XCOM from the press conference.
And they let us out.
Yeah, XCOM. I think they realized that turning that series into a first-person shooter was a dumb idea.
I hope so. I
hope they still do something with the license, but I don't think a first-person shooter was it.
I hope that regardless whatever they do with this game, that they in order to promote it, original XCOM on iPad and iPhone, do it. Weird. Moving on, I want a Mirror's Edge 2. Give me that.
Really?
Yeah.
But
you're not gonna get it.
I know I'm not, but I want it.
But why? I mean, do you think that might happen at all, or it's just you've been wishing
I think
for...
it'll happen in the next generation. I don't think it'll finish out this generation. I feel like there's enough underground love for that game that at some point they'll say, "Hey, you remember Mirror's Edge? We're gonna do that again."
Yeah, I think they're gonna wait a while.
EA might say that.
Yeah.
No, like I think Ubisoft. EA will do that. I think EA's probably got to be excited that they have a title that somewhere down the line will get people excited. Because that's a good card to have. Because there's no better press in this industry than delusional fan base.
Are you talking about from a publisher perspective? Because they got Mass Effect.
Yeah, but I mean, Mass Effect hasn't gone away.
Right.
If you have a game that went away that a small group of really rabid fans remember being fantastic.
Like SSX?
Maybe. I don't know how SSX are, but I feel like SSX fans probably want a snowboarding game, not a spy game. It's another game from last year that we haven't heard anything about.
Mm. Yep.
But, yeah, I feel like there will be another Mirror's Edge game. It just won't be till next generation.
You think Activision will rock the Tony Hawk? Are they finally going to let him
see,
die?
See, that's the thing. Activision needs to figure out how to...
what to do with that.
Not what to do with that, but how to temper their fan base. Because, like, I'm not sure if you've been watching people's response to Modern Warfare 3, but it's been pretty apathetic in comparison to the last couple.
Really?
It's been like, oh, it's Modern Warfare. Like, even though
but what
really
about
big
the Kotaku leak? 4 million hits? I wouldn't call
well,
that.
Well, yeah, no, people are interested in it, but, I mean, the responses to it seem to be pretty tepid. And I feel like they're kind of starting to hit the top of their bell curve. And when they bring it back down, since they've been just slamming it down your throat, it's not going to come back up.
Mm.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Anyway, I'm also excited for Arkham City.
Me too. I'm super excited for that.
Still so haven't much. Played the first one, but I am looking forward
what?
To it.
Yeah, oh my god, when we get off, you go play it right now, tonight, today.
I don't own it. I need to
I don't
buy
care.
It.
Go buy it. Go buy it tonight.
You know last time you went to Baja Fresh and got a steak Ultimo burrito and a large Coke? if you just don't do that, you could have gotten Batman Arkham Asylum.
Well, here's the problem is I don't go to Baja Fresh, so maybe that's a problem.
Here's the problem. You should not even think about eating until you go and get this game and play it, because it's amazing.
Well, I just keep debating, should I get the PC version or the PS3 version because it's got extra stuff?
I have the Xbox version, and I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I don't think the extra stuff's really worth it.
I am a sucker for extra stuff, I will admit. So I'm probably going to go
through it. For extra stuff when it's good. Like, BioShock 2, the extra stuff
Adam,
that they released.
If you get the PS3, you can't even get the extra stuff right now. So just get whatever is cheaper.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to download it?
Yes.
Hmm.
Minus
But points. I think, well, you don't have to go into the store to download it, though. So you might still be able to get it.
Yeah, I'll get the PS3 version. I need to actually...
No, I had to go into the PlayStation Store to download it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Can you share leaderboard information cross-platform?
For Portal 2, you can. I don't know any other games you can.
That's too bad. I mean, I understand not being able to play cross-platform, but you should be able to at least just share leaderboard scores. Why not?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
That's right. I said Shadowrun.
I know you did. We ignored you on purpose.
Yeah. We all ignored
Damn
you.
Damn you.
And then, do you guys know the name of that dragon?
Dragon's something? Dogma.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I added it in here.
I see that. Yes, you did. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks kind of almost Shadow of the Colossus-y in the fact that you can grab onto the monsters.
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus is a good game.
Mm-hmm,
well, Adam, have you played Castlevania Lord of Shadow?
No, but I hear that is also...
Yeah, they do a lot of that in there.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to rattle off mine real quick.
Do it.
Skyrim, so I'm a big nerd.
Don't know about that one.
Lord of the Rings, because I'm a bigger nerd.
Wait. Let's stop on this Lord of the Rings thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
How are you not disenchanted with Lord of the Rings games?
What do you mean? Why would I be? What is the last Lord of the Rings game I played? Probably the real-time strategy game on PC.
What was the one that was kind of like Star Wars Battlegrounds or whatever? Battlefront?
Oh, Pandemic made that.
That one was kind of cool.
All right, if you say so. As long as you've got reason to be excited about it. I was of the understanding that Lord of the Rings games were not very good.
I have no interest in it, personally.
It's using the engine from the, what is that called? The Champions of Norrath, the Return to Arms, the engine. I really like those games, so that's why I'm pretty excited for it.
This is War in the North we're talking about, by the way.
Yep. So Hitman, of course, Sky 4, Claydon 2 got announced, Deus Ex.
Claydon, yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Ryan over at NIS, his wife, is playing it right now.
So I'm
pretty jealous about that one.
Jerk.
And Catherine should be coming out not that long after the show. Looking forward
to
that.
And I'm going to go ahead. I was going to call it right here. Adam is going to like that game more than any of us.
Like, I have
played that, and it is a Tide Gear-ass game.
Oh, man. You know, I don't know.
Can we make that a new label? This is a Tide Gear-ass game.
Well,
we should actually
thing.
Tell Atlas they can put that on the cover.
Here's the thing, but I don't know. I'm kind of put off by, like, the overt sexuality, but then I started to realize, well, it actually seems like they're putting some meaningful storyline behind it.
I mean, that's the idea. It's a sexual thriller. It's not just like sex for sex. I mean, it is in the sense that
they'll sell for that reason, but that's not the core of it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It is the core of it, but it's the core of it in a sort of Fatal Attraction sort of way, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
There is sex, but
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah.
I don't
know. I'm excited for it, but like I said, as much as I'm excited for it, I feel like of the four of us, Tide Gear is going to get the most out of it.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch the Giant Bomb Quick Look, and I think maybe after that I'll be a believer, because I like a good action puzzle game. You guys know me, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say go on the Japanese PSN store and just download the demo and play it for yourself.
But
who knows?
Speaking of action puzzle games, Tide Gear, real quick, because I don't know if you'll be on next time when I talk about playing it. Have you checked out Tidalus yet?
No, I was talking about Space Chem, but no.
You should check out Titleist.
This is on Steam. It sounds familiar. Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to check this one out.
Titleist gear?
Titleist gear, yeah.
What up? Yeah, I'll check that out.
Cool.
Yeah.
What is that one game? They're never going to bring it over. The Japanese game on the, I think, DS. They might be working on a 3DS where you have a girl and you court her and you marry her and all that.
Oh, Love Plus.
Love Plus.
Oh, yeah. That just... Oh.
You sound so disappointed that it's not coming out here, Eagle.
I'd have to review
it
that.
It just hurts my
heart. Yeah, I'm sure you would.
They've got, like, this mode in the next one where you can, like, she'll go into, like, this little introductory thing so you can introduce her to someone. And
That would work for the guy that married his character. Did you ever see that video?
It's me.
I think it was in the last one they had sort of an early version of the AR cards where they put stickers up around Tokyo where you could take your quote-unquote girlfriend on location dates. And if you took a picture with your DS... at the location with the card, it would place her at the place where the sticker is.
Awesome. Wow, that's cool.
Let's not talk about this anymore. It's making me
take
sad.
Her to Akihabara, and your life is complete.
But, Tidegear, I wanted to mention the last thing on your list.
Yes, sir.
Motherfucking Dark Souls.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought that would put that on there, would you?
I'm up for
I
that
think
too.
That everybody should put that on there because that is going to be amazing.
Here's the thing, I have not even played Demon Souls yet just because I don't know if I would really enjoy it, but I feel like Dark Souls is sounding to me like it's finally where it might be where I'm ready to jump in.
What?
I still intend to try Demon Souls, but.
Well, here's the thing. So I was listening to it. Oh my god! Stop
shot
it.
Mail.
Who the hell is using AOL? What the fuck?
Wasn't me. I blame Sage.
I'd remain quiet if I were you too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
Dark Souls. Yeah.
Somebody here has mail. I was listening to the Giant Bombcast earlier this week, and they actually have had hands-on time with it.
Yeah,
and I think it was Jeff Gerstmann, who is their sort of resident Demon Souls guy.
I don't remember.
Said that Dark Souls is more Demon Souls. He was the way he put it was that if he took the Pepsi challenge, he would think that Dark Souls is Demon Souls.
Really? added like checkpoint type things and.
Well, there are checkpoints in the first one. It's just the way they're not checkpoints in the traditional sense where it's like, oh, now that you've died, you start this far. It's that you.
I'm just saying.
There
are
certain chain. Yeah. Well, like the example, the best example is the first area you go into is like a castle, and you start outside of the castle, and there's a big ass front gate, and you can't just walk through it. So you have to go around the side and do all this stuff, and that takes time. You're going to die a bunch of times, but eventually. You'll open that gate, and that gate will stay open forever. So even though the start point never changes, you can get further in the level faster.
Elements to it change.
Yeah, so I actually really like that about it, that it's not just an arbitrary, oh, there's a glowing sword here, and that's where you'll always resurrect. It's sort of a, you make progress, and then that progress...
Yeah, it kind of smacks of roguelike, which is part of what attracts me. I know there's no random generation, really, but...
No, the enemies are very scripted. Like it's funny, because this... I could close my eyes, and I can go through killing those first six bad guys in that first corridor that always show up in the same places.
Right. Well, and to me, there is something a little... Like, I really liked the concept of Demon Souls, and I thought, in general, it was super well executed, but I didn't get to play it very much, because I didn't have a... I don't have a PS anything... But the couple times that I did play it, I thought that in general it was great, but every now and then the controls were like a little inconsistently inconsistently they would sort of screw up. And so my biggest hope would be that I would want to see all the same ingenuity that they had in the first one, but maybe a little better control.
The controls in that game are, what's the word I'm looking for? Perfect.
No, they're not.
You... obviously had a stroke. No, they take some getting used to. But once you get a handle of it, like, I mean, it is incredibly timing and skill based. It's very similar to Monster Hunter, which is why I think I like it so much. You know, all the people that say I would like Monster Hunter if it had a lock on, that's Demon Souls.
Yeah, except, that's me.
Yeah,
I'm that guy.
So you should play it. It's really.
Are you saying that I don't have timing or skills?
No, I'm saying that you have to. You really have to work at Demon Souls to get the timing down.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you've played it enough, you're like, why would they do anything to this game? Which is what I'm saying is, if they change anything, I'll cry and kill every single one of you.
Whoa!
Wow! I prefer you didn't. I have
no, because you said bad things about it, so you'd be the one to make a change.
Fuck you, Sean! I've known you for so long. If you try and kill me, I'm gonna smack you.
You know who I've known longer? Demon Souls.
Smack you with my hawk.
Desert Eagle.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, are you still interested in Armored Core 5?
Oh, yeah. I'm always down. You know, actually, that's a good transition, talking about From Software.
Mm-hmm.
I really think they kind of pick things up lately.
And, yeah, they sure
have. Yeah,
you know, I've as much as I knock Armored Core, I want to love each and every one.
Or answer sweet.
I pick up each and every one hoping it's going to be my ideal mech game, and I think they're getting closer to it, so... Yeah.
Oh my god, wait, I just saw it in my mind. Armored Core 5. Demon Souls with robots.
Oh my god.
I don't know about that.
Let's add that to your imaginary list of games you're hoping for.
I think Sean just wants Demon Souls with everything.
If that was the last game ever made, I'd be okay with that.
Holy cow.
Demon Souls with robots.
Demon Core 5, yeah.
Demon Core.
All right,
anyway, so, what else are we looking forward to? Catherine, $100 bills. Have we gone
Rock
over?
Of Ages. Oh,
Rock of Ages, which they actually showed last year. Last year, that was the sponsor of the show, and it still hasn't come out.
Yeah.
Sponsor of the back of the E3 badges.
Yeah, so but I'm cool, just saying. Though. It does look really cool. I actually was not impressed with it last year, and the more I see about it, the more impressed I get.
The same people as Xenoclash, which I'd like to see a sequel to as well. That's a weird friggin' game, but I love it.
I'm one of the few people that like it. Everybody I talk to says they can't stand it.
Well, I think a lot of people can't stand it just because, like, it's disturbing in a way that it's not necessarily, like, violent or, you know... mature. It's more that it's just so friggin' weird, and yet right. There's still, you know, there's like society within this weirdness, so it's constantly making you go, oh, okay, this feels wait, no, it doesn't feel familiar, you know.
Sort of like Illbleed.
I love Illbleed. That should have a sequel. Fuck yeah.
There was a sequel to Illbleed, and then
really?
The guy behind it died, so
dang it,
he was murdered.
No, he just died.
There was murder.
He regular died.
Regular died.
So they didn't release it at all. There was no.
I don't know how far in development it was, but there was definitely an Illbleed 2 in some stage of development when he died.
If you and I ever become video game anything, producers, creators, whatever, we should pull like a Duke Nukem and go find it and be like, we're gonna finish Illbleed 2 and release it.
I would like that.
I would too.
You didn't even get to see the most fucked up part of Illbleed, which is the weird Toy Story level at the end.
I know. Well, why don't you start a new character and play it up till that point, and when I'm there, we can go to your house and play it.
Maybe I'll do that.
Sly Cooper 4?
Sly Cooper?
Sorry. E3. That's the thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
Sly Cooper. Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the first game. I own the trilogy. I barely played the other two, but I don't know. I just keep meaning to get back into that. It's another.
That's how
of
I
shame.
Feel about Sly Cooper. It's like I played the third one because Deagle made me buy it, and it's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
I just for whatever reason I can't. It doesn't hold my interest long enough. It's like when you watch cartoons on PBS when you're growing up, and you're like. This cartoon is well made, but I feel like you're trying to teach me something.
So fuck you.
This. I don't know about this education thing.
Yeah, that's kind
you
of.
You know what I would like to see is a new Escape from Monkey Island game that is awesome.
They just did that last year.
But was it awesome?
I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually.
Did you? I heard a lot of bad reviews. I didn't play it. I heard a lot of bad reviews about it.
Really?
Yeah.
How about an Escape from L.A. Monkey Island crossover?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Or Kurt Douglas. Why doesn't Kurt Douglas have a video game?
Why don't we have a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China? That's another good question.
Wait, it's not Kurt Douglas.
Or Buckaroo Banzai, for that matter.
Kurt Douglas.
No, Kurt Douglas is the old actor. You're thinking
I always get those names?
Kurt Russell.
Sorry.
Yeah. Kurt Douglas. I totally knew what you meant, though.
Yeah.
Sneak
peek. How many Kurts are there in Hollywood? Think about it. Two.
Probably a lot.
No, there's two.
There's two Kurts.
I bet you if I IMDb it, there's like at least five that act and then a bunch more that produce and direct.
What's the guy from Growing Pains? Kurt?
Cameron.
Kirk Cameron. That was Cameron. Kirk, yeah.
Captain Kirk.
He's from my land. See what I did there? That was a last name joke. So let's talk about Monster Hunter.
Sure.
Well, that's my pick of the show. Is that Monster Hunter 3rd will be announced in some way to come to America, or if not, I will chain myself to Capcom's booth.
Did you see the Monster Hunter iPhone game?
I did see that. It looked really upsetting.
It looks, yeah. It's like Infinity Blade, but themed Monster Hunter.
Well, there was another mobile Monster Hunter game for, like, the Motorola Razr
at
some point, and it was also really bad. Mm. It was like that, I don't know if you saw, what was the Kingdom Hearts game that came out on, was it PSP or DS?
385 days divided by 2 times 13.
No, not that one. It was a really bad one. But it was a re-release of the mobile game.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was for PSP that they released it. But yeah, so it was
not Chain of Memories?
No, Chain of Memories was the release.
That was the Game Boy one.
Game Boy Advance. That's actually a good game.
Yeah.
Guys, we better move on.
I'm sorry, but yeah, so I guess we've been through everybody's but mine. Monster Hunter, I'm looking forward to. Space Marine, I'm really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to asking them why they didn't pick the Space Wolves for that. I'm looking forward to the party that they're going to have for Sonic Generations, even though I'm not looking forward to Sonic Generations.
Yeah!
I'm looking forward to hanging out with Cheepy. Yeah, I feel like there should be more games that I'm excited about, but you kind of covered all the really good ones.
Not bad.
Well, our tastes overlap in areas, and that's a good thing.
That is true. Yeah. I'm excited. I really am excited for the NGP, and I'm excited for Uncharted 3. But, like, really my focus has been for the NGP for whatever reason, because, I mean, I know I'm in the minority, but I love the PSP. And
yeah, I'm a big fan of the PSP. I'm down for an NGP. Bring it on. Yeah.
So that is the thing I'm most excited about, is finally getting my hands on that.
I'm down.
I'm worried that they're going to announce it's coming out next year now, though, because I feel like all hands have been on deck for the stupid PSN garbage. Les sigh.
Les mega sigh.
You know what'll cheer us up?
Trivia.
Called it.
We got special E3 trivia coming up.
Nice.
Here. Okay, so let's get through it. Mm-hmm. So we're running long. In 2 weeks, geeks across the world will be descending on Los Angeles for the Electronic Entertainment Expo. Only a true nerd would know what year the gaming trade show got its start. Was it A, 1993, B, 1995, C, 1996, or D, 1998?
So we're talking about when it got its start as its own show, or when it started being a part of CES?
Its own show.
Oh, boy.
What? Say them again.
93, 95, 96, 98.
95.
Yeah, I'm going to say 95.
I'm going to say 96.
Correct answer is 1995.
Right. Yeah.
This year's expected attendance is much larger than 2008's turnout of only 5,000 people, but this crowd will be dwarfed by 2005's epic attendance. Just how many people crammed in the LA Convention Center's five halls that year? Was it A, 50,000, B, 60,000, C, 70,000, or D, 86,000?
I'm going to say 70,000.
Yeah. I'm going to say 70,000 as well.
I'm
60. Nah, shit. Yeah, I was going to say 62. That might be. I'm trying to read your inflections here.
Mm.
60.
Do you have the ninja skills? I'm going to say it's 70,000.
60.
Correct answer is 70,000.
Damn it! They're just one of my instincts.
There's an easy one. You should all get it. Anyone who's doesn't get this one correct is immediately dropped from this podcast.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
It's an elimination round. While mega bombs are likely to be dropped this year, they probably won't top the announcements that consoles have already been secretly shipped to retail channels. What two pieces of hardware can make that claim? A, the GameCube and DS Lite. B, the Sega Saturn and 360 Slim. C, the PlayStation 1 and Game.com. Or Gamecom. D, the Virtual Boy and Jaguar.
Right, so number one, the answer is Sega Saturn and Xbox 360. But yep. Let me say thank you for correcting yourself on the Gamecom thing, because nothing makes me more angry than when people call it Game.com.
Yeah, I don't know why I just called it that.
I had one. Anyone else? In several anyone games. Else?
I didn't really understand the question, so I'm going to default to Sean's answer.
We're all right. Yay.
And so no one got eliminated this round.
It Yay.
Sega Saturn and 360 yeah. Slim. Not the game.com.
Yeah, so Sage, to answer that question, what it was when they announced the Sega Saturn at E3, they're having their press conference, and they're saying, here's the Sega Saturn, and it's 32 bits, and it's got discs and stuff, and you'll be able to play these three games on it, and it will be available now at Toys R Us. So nobody had ever heard about this system, and it was already on sale.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But so it's also, like, bad publicity.
Yeah, and also the problem with that was, since nobody knew that it was coming out, all the people who were developing games for it thought it was going to be coming out for Christmas, and so it had three games. It was Daytona USA, Virtua Fighter, and...
Virtua Cop?
Yeah, I think Virtua Cop.
Was but it? Wait, they didn't even tell... I mean, that's, that makes no sense that they wouldn't tell their game developers. Like, why would they do that?
Well, they told their game developers it would be coming out sometime in 1994 or 95, whenever it came out.
And then it was also available at four outlets, and so the other outlets got pissed off.
Yeah. Like it was
KB Toy Stores, which was popular at that time. Okay, next question. Astute gamers might remember Alan Wake. You remember that one, guys?
Yes.
That was Remedy Entertainment's critically acclaimed title, which went straight to the bargain bins. Which
also,
E3...
you said astute. That's funny.
Astute. At which E3 was the title first announced? Is it A, 2004, B, 2005, C, 2008, or D,
2009?
I'm going to say
2009. I'm going to say 2005. Adam?
When did Alan Wake awake? What were the choices again?
2004, 5, 8, and 9.
Maybe it was way back. I'm going to say 4?
I was going to say 4, too, but I'm sticking with
correct
five.
Answer, 1992. No, kidding. 2005. In 1996, Capcom revealed Resident Evil to a zombie-craving public. Surprisingly, magazines devoted nearly as much time to the publisher's forgotten fighting game, which was also unveiled that year. Name it. Is it A, Star Gladiator, B, Darkstalkers, C, Cyberbot's Full Metal Madness, or D, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure was much later.
C.
Star Gladiator was also later?
I'm not even absorbing these questions anymore.
I feel like Darkstalkers wouldn't be forgotten, would it?
When's the last time they made it one?
For the
a PS- true one.
The PSP had one.
No.
All right, Darkstalkers. You know you're trying to trick me. Nope, Darkstalkers. I'm going to go with Darkstalkers.
Adam?
I'm going to go with that, too, because I could barely contain that question in my mind.
And Sage.
What?
Sage, what was your answer?
Cyber I said C from the beginning.
You guys have all been eliminated.
Damn it.
End of show. Game over. The correct answer was Star Gladiator.
That's right. There was one for PS1, wasn't there?
I knew it!
What was the name of the sequel to that on Dreamcast?
Wasn't Technomancer.
Maybe I'm making shit up. I really wanted Technomancer when it came out, by the way, and I never found a copy.
Kicked ass.
That's what I've heard.
It's a great game. Mm-hmm. So we got some mail.
Yay, mail!
From Yay! Man-Thing. You guys have Man-Things?
Hey, Man-Thing, I got a Man-Thing.
Is this Cagman thing?
I guess, maybe. He says, after seeing Desert and Blue Swim talk about Dead or Alive Dimensions after Itagaki left Tecmo, it got me wondering, can a single person still be responsible for making a great game, or is it a team effort now?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. So, like, I want to say no, but at the same time, yes. Because, I mean, if you look at whenever Kojima gets himself off of a Metal Gear project and see how it goes sideways, I think that's pretty indicative of how much power one man can hold.
Right.
And that's what kind of scares me about the fact that we do focus more on the names of studios rather than the names of the individuals in the studios now. I feel like you're going to run into some studios that kind of fall by the wayside because we don't realize that the people that made games so great are going elsewhere.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the other big problems is that part of why it has to be a team effort is because graphics are such a big deal for ever since The Matrix came out. And if you don't, if you have one person trying to develop something, I feel like they can't make as complete a game that way.
The Matrix?
No, the movie.
Graphics were an issue before The Matrix. I feel like, yeah. I mean,
2600.
Go look at some old Sega Genesis ads and see what they're touting. No,
totally. But I feel like The Matrix was the beginning of where our whole, like, movies and games have both shifted to this thing of, like, things need to be really, like, graphically cool looking.
You guys are saying it has to be a team effort?
No, not at all. I'm saying that, unfortunately, because of that, if you want it to be one person thing, it's going to take a lot more time, or you have to sacrifice some of those visual choices. Like,
there's always going to be a leader of those teams, and that's where Kojima comes in. Kojima barely touches computers anymore, it looks like, but he goes around and makes sure everybody's doing their job right and seeing his vision.
The other auteur I'd probably add to that would be the Housers, the brothers behind a Rockstar.
Doogie?
Yeah.
Doogie, where are you?
I mean, you look at a game like Cave Story. That was all one dude, and that's a great game.
Yeah, but I think we're talking about two different levels. More of an indie type, smaller game. Yeah, there can definitely be a auteur, but for some of the big budget games where a person is in charge of logic, programming, graphics, sound, it really does require a team.
Yeah, if you're talking big budget, I guess so.
The big question is, can a person direct a whole team and still leave that kind of fingerprint on a work that says, this is a team
And
game.
I think they can, but I think the example he gives, Dead or Alive, Itagaki came out in the PlayStation 1 era and said, hey, Tecmo, give me a chance to exploit a marketing concept that people like sex and violence. And he, like, as much as we like to look at him and go, oh my god, look at Itagaki, he looks like a fucking rock star, he really didn't do much. You know, he had this concept that was a really bare bones concept and turned into a franchise. And when he left, it was really easy for them to say, okay, well, how do we keep this going? Oh, right. Titties and punching people. Like, that's not, I don't think you can put him on that same level. I feel like he was a great mouthpiece for Tecmo because he would come out there in his leather jacket and his sunglasses and talk about boobies. But that,
and I think in general, if you have someone walking around trying to make sure that everyone on a development team is following their vision exactly, you're going to get a finished piece that's not actually as good as it is if you
I disagree. I feel like there are directors in games the same way there are directors in film, you know, like,
Spielberg's
not manning a camera
But exactly for that reason, in film, you can't, Like, if the director spends a bunch of time trying to make sure that the lighting is exactly what he wants, and then trying to make sure the sound is exactly what he... Like, it doesn't quite... The whole piece gets sort of not... Because their focus needs to be on directing the thing. Whereas if you let them tell the light crew, like, hey, I want this sort of effect, and the light crew does it, but then they go, okay, but look, if we add this, I think that's going to look really cool. That happens not all the time, but with enough frequency, and it does make a positive change because the light people know lights. They know lights like, you know, nothing else. And if you let those departments make those inputs creatively, I think that you get a better finished piece sometimes, not always, but sometimes, because you get a bunch of people contributing who really understand the dimensions of the part that they're working on. It's whereas cute. If the director tries to do everything, then it gets watered down.
It's cute because you don't live in California where the lighting crew is all union workers that don't really care about what they're doing.
Okay. Well, other than trying to make me seem diminutive, I think that I am correct in my assessment.
You are correct. I'm just saying that in California.
How tall are you?
In California.
Well, you know what? Santa Fe is the new and improved California.
Okay? I agree that most of America is the new improved California.
Aw, that's sad.
It's south by south.
South by south.
Southwest. There's an extra south in there somewhere.
South by south side.
But yeah, no, I agree that each member of the team needs to have their own input, but it needs to, well, it doesn't need to. I feel like if somebody has a grander vision, that can still be a major plus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really depends. Like there is a difference between the Kojimas and the Itagakis. I feel like Itagaki made a team that was really good at making jiggly boobs and that worked for them. But I don't feel like that's the same as someone who directs an experience and tries to evoke some sort of emotion.
You're right. Yeah.
That was a good question.
That was a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man Thing, you should write us letters instead of cheapy. Didn't we have another question too?
We do.
Yes, we did.
It's not in the outline anymore.
Skeletor, what game released in the last year was the biggest disappointment for each of you?
Front Thor? Mission Evolved.
Front Mission Evolved, I will say, I mean, I bought it for $15, but it was not terrible.
I bought it for full price like a sucker.
You did buy it for full price like a sucker. Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't disappointed in that because I knew what I was getting because I played it at E3 and it was not good then either. Mm. It was better when I played it at home than it was at E3, though. I will give it that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Thor is kind of it because that is a broken-ass game.
Mm.
What else come out in the past year that was really bad?
I'll tell you. Crackdown 2 sucked. Sonic 4 sucked.
Sonic 4 was not terrible. It was bad. It was not... Okay. I wasn't let down by that either. Like, my thing is that most of these bad games, I had tempered expectations. And even though Thor I knew wasn't going to be good, I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was.
APB.
Despite being...
That was not a year ago.
Despite being good, I was disappointed by Other M.
That came out this past year. Oh, yeah.
Did Fable 3 come out this past year?
Yes, it did.
And the latest Splinter Cell did too, right?
Oh, yeah, that was disappointing as well.
Yeah, so both of those, and you can listen to my old podcast if you want to know why I feel that way, but both of those were so disappointing, they made me want to drop cement blocks on my toes just to feel a different kind of pain than the pain felt from those games.
Holy smokes. I didn't hate Conviction or anything. I did. It was similar to Other M in that it was a good game, but just not a good... It did not fit that series.
Hey, can we talk about, like, on a tangent real quick, Tomb Raider?
Yes.
So they're making that new Tomb Raider game, the gritty reboot, and it came out today that while they were making the script for that, it was actually called something else, and the main character's name was Sarah. And that could just be code name stuff in case somebody grabbed the script early, but it kind of made me wonder, if you're going to reboot a series like that, and, like, to completion, wouldn't it just make sense to make a new game? Because now that game it's a Tomb Raider game, right? Mm-hmm. So you're gonna be saying, is this a good Tomb Raider game, rather than is this a good game but on its own?
Yeah, I think they're just trying to ride on the name.
I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. I'm kind of excited about that, by the way. I can add that to my list.
Sweet.
All right, guys, we got to wrap this thing up.
No.
Super no. long.
I refuse.
All right, well, if you want to read what we write on papers and then put on the internet, you can go to www.tech-gaming.com. Go there every day for the next couple of weeks because it is going to change drastically.
Yeah.
You're going to say, whoa, this looks really cool. And I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to take all the credit for this. And then Rob's going to be like, what? You didn't do anything. And I'm going to say, look over there.
And then a bunch of people will be like, eh, I liked it better before.
And then I'm going to say, yeah, I did too, jerks. Man, Rob's such a jerk for changing everything. That's what we call playing both sides. But if you'd like to read what's not going to change on Twitter, you can follow Rob at tech_gaming. Or you can follow me at Sean Nola with two N's. Or you can follow Adam at Tide Gear.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can follow Sage at Samurage.
Yeah. Rocking the
hawk. You should subscribe to us on iTunes. I would read something nice that you said, except nobody said anything nice this week. But you should still do that because it's a very convenient way for you to figure
make
out.
Make us happy.
Yeah. Other than that, you can give Sage a call. Her number is
505-555-8679-305.
I just want to put it out there. I hope none of you waste your time trying to call that number because it's not a real number. Or maybe it is some real number of like some fat guy sitting in a house somewhere.
Well, no, there are no real 555 numbers. That's why they put them in movies.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, that's our show. That's my Super Search show.
Hooray! And again, all you all, I'm sorry for being late. It was an unavoidable thing that ran long.
She was on a date.
I was not a date. I would not leave the podcast for a date. That would be lame.
She was in the bathroom.
I was not in the bathroom for an hour and a half.
She went on a date in the bathroom.
It was love.
All right, this is getting weird.
All right, so, bye.
Pink lemonade is delicious.
Yep.